Welcome to Own It, Babe. I am so thrilled that you're here. My name is Srini Fry, and I am helping you make peace with food, heal your body image, find more purpose and meaning in your life, and liberate yourself from our weight-obsessed society. Each week, I will introduce you to an inspiring guest or experiences of my own on intuitive eating, positive body image, self-love, personal growth, and everything else you need to live your best life and throw your scale in the trash. Are you ready for this? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining me for this episode. It's going to be a Q&A. And a while ago, so this is where the questions came from. A while ago, I opened a Q&A in one of my Instagram posts, which if you don't follow me, I am at Own It Babe, all one word. So go follow me there. We're a huge family of over, right now we're at 156,000 people. So feel free to join in. You're always welcome. So I opened this Q&A and I had a lot of questions and I put all of them in an Excel sheet. I felt super proud of myself, very organized. And today I'm going to answer three of those questions. And I really hope I'm going to give you a lot of value. And I picked these questions today because these are questions that everybody can relate to, whether you have suffered from disordered eating or you're struggling with your body image or you're just really struggling to figure out who you are and who you want to be and you're, you know, dealing with a lot of self-doubt and fear and anxiety and things like that, which I think a lot of us do, if not all of us, right? So here are the three questions I'm going to answer. The first question is, how do you deal with the constant desire to change your personality or who you are based on not feeling enough? So not funny enough, confident enough, cute enough, cool enough, smart enough, all of these things. The second question is, how did you handle relapses in the past? And how did you get over the mindset of, I will never recover? Now, this is specifically about disordered eating and eating disorders. However, I find that, you know, relapsing, we can relate to that to so many other things in life, like, you know, getting into a positive mindset and practicing mindfulness and things like that, but then kind of relapsing into our old behaviors that are full of self-sabotage and self-doubts and things like that. So I'm going to answer that question as well. And the last question I'm going to be answering is it worth it to stress over processed versus non-processed foods, whether that's in recovery or just in general? And how do you get over the stress of a non-whole foods diet, especially in our society and diet culture where, you know, whole foods get put on a pedestal and processed foods kind of get demonized, right? So I'm going to answer that question as well. So again, I know that I'll bring you a lot of value in this episode, so I can't wait to dive into those questions. And before I do, just want to tell you a little bit about my last week, which we spent in Mexico. And again, if you follow me on Instagram at Own It Babe, you probably saw all of my stories of releasing baby turtles into the ocean and surfing and whale watching and body surfing and playing in the water and eating all the tacos. But if you don't follow me, basically me, Sean, my husband, and his parents and a sister and her boyfriend, we all went on this 1 week vacation in this small little town in Mexico. And, you know, my biggest takeaway from this week was that in the Western world, in North America, in Europe especially, people are so preoccupied with their bodies and with comparing themselves on the beach. And I talked about this in one of my Instagram posts and I called it the walk, right? The walk from your towel to the ocean, which used to be my absolute biggest nightmare. And, you know, I would watch other women do this walk, like tugging and pulling at their bikinis and swimsuits and just kind of hunching and not feeling confident and just quickly getting into the water and covering up their bodies and comparing themselves. And in this small little town, there was hardly any tourists. There was locals, you know, families playing in the water and parents watching and playing with their kids. And I noticed that nobody does this walk. Nobody is preoccupied with their bodies and nobody's comparing. Everyone's kind of just having fun and having this positive energy and, you know, just really worrying about enjoying themselves, and that's it. And that really, really inspired me, right? So I had one negative body image thought during this vacation, just one. And I share this because I'm hoping that I can teach you to move through these thoughts the same way that I did when this thought came up. So I saw a photo that my sister-in-law took of me from behind. I was walking towards Sean to get a couple photo together, and she kind of just took a little photo of me walking towards Sean. So it was me from the back. And I looked at this photo and I was like, oh my God, is this what I really look like from behind? I had no idea. And I had these old waves of just shame and discomfort come in, and those old familiar thoughts of, I hate my body, or I'm just not enough, and I can't believe I really look like this. I can't believe I actually have a positive body image. I shouldn't, you know, I'm not good enough. I had all of these thoughts come in with a bang, and it scared the crap out of me because I have done so much work on overcoming these thoughts and building a solid positive body image foundation and just being completely at peace with myself. But seeing that photo really triggered something in me. And I'm sure you can relate that, you know, either these thoughts are with you all day long, or, you know, you've done your work, you have mostly have a positive body image, but those old thoughts creep back in sometimes. And what I did was I was really, really aware of my thoughts. So as these thoughts were rolling in, I felt my body kind of tightening up. I felt, you know, my heart sinking and, you know, my breath got quicker, and I was like, I was just panicking, right? I was panicking. And I was like, okay, what am I feeling right now? I'm feeling these old thoughts come in, these old thoughts of shame and discomfort and not feeling enough. What am I going to do with these thoughts? Am I really going to take action on them? Because I know that these are just old thoughts from the past that my brain is basically spitting out at me on autopilot, because I had trained my brain to do this for many, many, many years, to spit out these thoughts at me like, you're not enough, you're a piece of shit, right? You're a loser, you're weak, you're not strong, you're not who you think you are, or, you know, who are you to actually tell people how to live their lives and things like that, right? Like just that inner mean girl voice. And I made a conscious choice in that very moment to not take action on my thoughts. And the mantra that always helps me move through these thoughts is, I'm not going to milk these 5 minutes of negativity and make it a negative day or a negative week or a negative life. I'm not going to do this anymore. I am a grown ass woman, and I am making a choice here to let these thoughts roll in without taking any action on them, without allowing myself to get into that place of negativity, of self-doubt, of fear, of anxiety about my body. Because I know in my core that we are all unique human beings. We are uniquely beautiful in our own ways, and my body does not define me. So this is the thought I'm going to take action on. And what that looked like for me was to let that go, let that negativity go after I felt it. So I allowed myself to feel, to let those thoughts roll in and to feel that fear for a minute there, but to move through it and to make a conscious choice to feel differently and to live my life differently. So I chose to focus on enjoying myself, on joy. So I got up, I straightened up, you know, I took a deep breath, I fixed my posture, because that always helps me feel more confident, is to pay attention to my posture. And I went in the water and I played, and we went for a surfing lesson, and we had so much fun, and we enjoyed our dinner by the beach, and it was just a beautiful day. And the more I took action on the thoughts of joy, on that enjoyment that I want to create for myself, the more I allowed myself to feel that instead of that negativity. So I wanted to share that with you because, you know what? Yes, I'm recovered. Yes, I'm at peace with food. I'm at peace with my body. But these thoughts may still come up. It doesn't mean that I'm completely immune to them, and I don't have to be. So I want to share that with you in hopes that next time you have a thought like that, you can choose joy, you can choose enjoyment, you can allow yourself to feel that negativity for a minute there, but decide that this is not how you want to live your life anymore and move through that emotion. So instead of pushing these thoughts down and trying to ignore them, allow them to come in for a minute, feel them, and then move on. Hey you, before I dive into answering your questions, I wanted to direct you to my website to download 5 free video tutorials. So this is a body image pep talk series that I recorded a few weeks ago and that I put out there for you to download for absolutely free. And it's basically 5 pep talks that I am using for myself, that I have used in the past, and that I now want to give to you, which contain my most powerful action steps and tools that I use to create a positive body image and make complete peace with my body and embrace every part of myself beyond my body. So I really, really want you to have those videos. So before you continue listening to this episode, head over to ownitbabe.ca/freebies to get free access to my free body image pep talks. I can't wait to hear what you think. All right, now let's get into the question. So question number one, how do you deal with the constant desire to change your personality or who you are based on not feeling enough? So a little backstory here to explain my answer a little bit more and give you some context. I grew up as a Greek girl in a German school. So my parents were the first generation of people in Greece to move to Germany for work. And me and my siblings were born and raised in Germany, but my parents, being first generation, they really made sure to keep all the traditions alive. And my parents are also very religious. So I grew up in this family full of Greek traditions, but it always kind of clashed with the German culture that I was experiencing in kindergarten and then in primary school and high school and university, all these things. And, you know, back then, there wasn't a lot of diversity in my school. I know this has changed now. More and more people are moving to Germany from other countries. But back then, I was the only person in my class that had a weird last name and that had darker skin and that had dark curly hair and that was differently built, a little shorter. And, you know, my parents didn't speak German very well, so they always spoke Greek to me in front of my friends, and I brought different food to school. I always sort of felt different, and I also always felt that urge and that need to fit in. So I remember very clearly always wanting to be like the popular girls in my class, and they were tall and skinny and blonde, and they were super popular, and they had boyfriends at a very young age, and they seemed super happy. And there I was, you know, feeling like the ugly duckling, sort of. And it's such a common narrative too, which now, like, I know that I shouldn't have worried about that because, you know what, our society makes us women feel like our looks are everything, but that shouldn't be the case. There's so much more to us. But back then I didn't know any better. And I remember, you know, just trying so desperately to be friends with these tall, skinny, blonde girls, right? And there was nothing wrong with being tall, skinny, and blonde. Just, you know, back then I was putting them on a pedestal. It was everything I wanted and that I couldn't be. And it made me feel very, very insecure. And then also sort of, you know, going then back home to all those Greek traditions and that different religion and all of these things were always constantly clashing, and I was confused. And, you know, whoever I was hanging out with, I was always the chameleon. I was always trying to live up to their expectations. And being a very sensitive person, I can feel other people's energy. I can literally feel their expectations. And, you know, it even came down to the tone of voice I would use and the language I would use, right? So my entire life, I spent basically never feeling like I'm enough because, you know, I wasn't the girl that had the boyfriends at an early age. I wasn't the girl that was tall, skinny, and blonde. I wasn't the girl that got all these affirmations and that, you know, outside approval from the world. I was different. And my parents had very high expectations of me that I never felt like I met ever, to be quite honest. Still don't, but it's something that I've worked through in therapy. So long story short, I've dealt with this my entire life, that desire to change who I am at my core in order to please other people. So it basically all comes down to the conditioning that we get of what it means to be enough. So it all comes down to our environment, the society we live in, the cultural norms, all of these things that are sort of unwritten rules that we grow up with, being brainwashed into believing that they're true, right? That was a long sentence, so I hope it made sense. But it comes down to your environment and your upbringing. And, you know, I did a lot of work. I worked through all of these things in therapy and, you know, I'm feeling a lot more enough these days and a lot more at peace with who I am, which for me, it started with all the body image work that I did because I had so much attachment to, you know, my worth is my body. That is all I can offer to this world. So I had to move past those old beliefs of mine, right? I had to shift these thoughts around and I had to keep trusting in myself and knowing deep down that I am enough just as I am. My body doesn't define me. There's lots of other things that define me. And I also don't have to please other people, right? So remember this, you are not placed on this earth to please your mother, your father, your siblings, your friends. You're here to just live your life and hopefully get the most joy out of it. So I had to really, really realize that. I had to not just hear it. I had to not just hear someone else say it. I had to really believe it myself. And that took a lot of work. So I want to share with you a few things that I did and that you can do in order to stop feeling like you have to please others, you have to fit in, you have to be someone you're not. So the first thing I want you to do and the first thing that I did is write down what your brain is spitting out at you. So write down all of these thoughts. Be really aware of your thoughts because most times we just kind of, we're not even aware of our feelings. We just get an uncomfortable feeling, but we don't even know where it's coming from. We don't know the thoughts that created this emotion in our body because we're so unaware of our thoughts. They're so deeply ingrained in us. We're so deeply conditioned, right, to have all of those beliefs. So first of all, I want you to deconstruct those beliefs, those thoughts that your brain is constantly putting out there. I want you to write them down. And some examples of these could be, you know, I feel like I'm not thin enough, or I feel like I'm not lovable, or I feel like my husband or my partner or my wife don't love me, or I feel like I'm not a good mother, or, you know, I feel like I'm not funny. I'm not funny enough for this world. No one's going to like me. You know, write down all of these thoughts, write them down, get really, really aware of them. So train yourself to be super aware of these thoughts that are coming up that then create that emotion inside of you that makes you feel like you're not enough. And so that is step one, right? And step number two is you want to get really, really quiet up in your head. Really quiet, because chances are that all of these thoughts that you just wrote down, all of these thoughts that make you feel like you're not enough, are voices from other people. They're not your own voice. So you weren't born believing that you're not enough. Trust me. This is social conditioning. This is maybe family members and friends and acquaintances. This is maybe movies that you've watched growing up. This is your culture, right? This is all of these voices that you grew up surrounded by that are in your head creating these thoughts. So that is why I want you to get really, really quiet up here. And I'm pointing at my head right now. Get really quiet and understand that these people that have created these thoughts, that have commented on you as a person before or gave you the idea that you needed to be different, are not you. And by getting really quiet, I want you to understand that there is a tiny little voice at your core that is you. Right? So who are you really? Who are you at your core? And if you don't know, if you're just confused by all of these voices that you grew up with hearing, right? If you don't know, ask the people you love the most that have the best interest at heart. Ask them, why do you love me? Or who do you think I am as a person? What are my qualities? And, you know, only ask the people that will be super honest with you, not judgmental, just honest, that truly, truly love you, and ask them, who do you think I actually am? You know, why are you hanging out with me? That is your true self. Okay. So get quiet. And I'm going to get back to that little voice that I talked about here that is your true self. I'm going to get back to that little voice, okay? So step number one, write down all of these thoughts that your brain is spitting out at you, but also trusting yourself that you weren't born to be someone else, right? So really understanding then, which brings us to step two, that these voices are just all of the voices of your parents and friends and acquaintances and cultural norms and all of these things that you grew up hearing, not you. Okay. So this brings me then to step three, and that is now all about understanding who you truly are and really just focusing on that and understanding that you are enough already. So step number three is I want you to understand what your values are in life. Why do you think other people are enough? Are you maybe creating a rich backstory of their lives that probably isn't real? So are you maybe seeing, you know, your neighbor Sally always looking flawless with four kids and, you know, having an amazing car and an amazing house and constantly having people over for dinner and just living the life that you want to live, right? Are you creating that rich backstory that Sally is always happy and Sally is always fulfilled and you don't deserve Sally's happiness? So I want you to basically call yourself out on your own bullshit. And I know this sounds super tough, and I don't mean for you to like call yourself out and then belittle yourself. Just be really real with yourself here. What are your true values in life? Are your true values really to, you know, always look flawless and put out this lavish lifestyle and, you know, have people over for dinner all the time? And is that really what your values are in life? Is that who you want to be as a person? So get really, really honest with yourself. What is it that you want? And, you know, for me, what it came down to once I really started calling myself out on my bullshit is that the major thing I was seeking my entire life was belonging. I wanted to belong. I wanted to be accepted for who I truly am. And I knew at my core that I'm not Sally. I don't want to be Sally. And who knows, maybe Sally is actually a really sad person that, you know, needs to have that outside validation. I don't want to be that person. I want to be at peace with myself. I want to be that loyal friend. I want to be an exceptional wife. I want to be an amazing teacher and leader and mentor. I want to, you know, travel and see the world and put myself in uncomfortable situations and grow. Like, those are my values in life. It's not having a certain body, right? That is not why I love other people. I don't love other people for their body, right? So that is step three. So again, step one, write down the thoughts that your brain is spitting out at you. Step two, get really, really quiet. So understand that these thoughts are not you in order to understand who you truly are at your core. Number three, what are your values in life? Start being really, really real with yourself and ask yourself, what is it that you really want? Is it maybe belonging as well? Is it being accepted for who you are? So in order to get there, you actually have to be yourself. You can't be somebody else and expect to have that feeling of belonging and acceptance, okay? Step number four, understand that some people aren't going to stay in your life once you truly show up as who you are and who you want to be. And that is perfectly okay. And as I mentioned in my episode, I believe it was episode number 21, where I talked about what it means to be vulnerable online, there's some people that aren't in my life anymore because it may make them uncomfortable, or who knows why they're not in my life anymore. But once I started stepping into my truth and showing up as who I truly am, and, you know, moving away from trying to play small, whether it's about shrinking my body or shrinking my voice, not speaking up, all of these things. Once I stepped into my true self and started to be honest and be real, not only with myself, but also with the world, you know what? Some people, that's not, you know, I'm not their cup of tea. They get offended, they get uncomfortable. that's okay, because you know what? In order for me to have that feeling of belonging and acceptance for who I truly am from the outside world, I have to get comfortable with the idea that not everyone's going to like me and that I cannot please everybody. But the people that stay in my life, oh my goodness, I can tell you those relationships deepened big time. They got, you know, so much more fulfilling. I got so much more out of those relationships, and I still do. So understand that. Understand that you cannot please everyone. And some people may not be in your life after you truly step into your truth and you stop being that chameleon that I always was my entire life. Okay, so again, starting up from the top before I get to the last point, which is all about that little inner voice that I hinted at earlier. Step one, write down the thoughts that your brain is spitting out at you. Step two, get really quiet up in your head. Understand that these voices, these thoughts aren't actually you. Step three, ask yourself what your true values in life are. What is it that you actually want? Why are you trying so hard to please other people? Step four, understand that once you show up as your true self, once you stop trying to please everybody, once you speak your truth, some people may not stay in your life, or you might not be as close with them anymore. But the people that will be in your life, those are the ones that you can be your true self around. And it's a give and take. It's not just you giving your all and not getting anything back out of that relationship. So understand that and, you know, really feel and get excited about those relationships that will stay in your life and that will deepen. Last step, step number five, once you understand who you are at your core, so once you truly get quiet up in your head and you find that little voice inside of you at your core that is your true self, right? That little voice that says, hey, I am enough. I'm enough just as I am. I don't have to please other people. I don't have to be a chameleon. I know my values. I know what I want out of life. Once you get clear and focused and listen to that little inner voice, I want you to do something that I always have my clients do and that I did myself as well. I want you to create an inner courage avatar. So I basically want you to be courageous, right? Because it takes courage to be our true self. So it takes courage to stop buying into the bullshit that diet culture tells us and that society tells us about who we should be. Right? Takes a lot of courage, I tell ya. So I call my avatar Courage Rini. So anytime I feel insecure or afraid, right? Like I did last week on our Mexico vacation, I ask myself, what would Courage Rini do in this moment? How would she respond? What action would she take? Because I want to choose courage over fear as much as I can. And in the beginning, I literally have to create that avatar for myself, and my clients have to do the same. So, you know, there's still so many voices in your head from your upbringing that tell you why you're not enough and why you should be afraid and why you're not worth it and all of these things, right? So I have to literally create an inner persona to stand up to all of these voices, which is my Courage Rini. And the more you ask yourself, what would Courage Rini do, or your name, right? Your Courage Avatar. What would my Courage Avatar do? The more you're able to hone in and get quiet and understand what is happening and who you truly are and what you want. Okay, so it gets easier with time because your courage avatar gets stronger the more you feed it, right? So it's the voice that you take action on that gets stronger over time, right? So the more you feed the voice of courage, the more you take action on the voice of courage, the more you're able to truly create more joy in your life and move away from those old beliefs that you're not enough. You are enough and you always have been. So don't let the world take your fire and light away from you, okay? It doesn't matter what you look like, where you live, what your mother's friend's nephew thinks of you. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of you. What matters is what you think of you. So start taking action with all of these steps that I gave you today. Write them down. Take a few minutes today to do some thinking on them and then put them into practice. And do that as much as you can. Do it every single day if you can. So I would love to hear how that goes for you. Tag me on Instagram at ownitbabe in your stories, or message me on there, or email me, or leave a rating and let me know how that goes for you. I would love to hear from you. Okay, This was a long-winded answer, so I'm just looking at the timer here. It's going to be a little bit of a longer episode, but since I'm only going to be releasing one this week, it's probably fine. You can always come back and listen later if you're out of time now. So let's get into question number two, shall we? Okay, so question number two is, how did you handle relapses in the past? How did you get over the mindset of, I will never recover? And again, this goes for other things too. Say that, you know, you put all of these things into practice that I taught you earlier when it comes to, you know, getting into the mindset of you are enough, but you do it for a little while and then you kind of just relapse and fall back into old patterns. So that doesn't only go for disordered eating, but I'm going to hone in on disordered eating first here. So research suggests that the relapse rate of eating disorders is somewhere in the 40% range, and that is when patients undergo treatment. This is staggering news, right? Because first of all, it doesn't include people who suffer from binge eating disorders or any other eating disorders not otherwise specified. This is really, really shocking. And I want to tell my own experience with relapses, as well as how I got out of the mindset of I will never recover, might as well keep doing what I'm doing because I'm not worth it anyways, you know, all these old beliefs of mine. I want to talk about how I got out of those beliefs. So I had multiple relapses, and to be honest, they're all just a big blur at this point. But when I first got into, you know, dieting and all of this stuff, and I developed anorexia and then bulimia and then binge eating and then orthorexia, I mean, you know, if you want to put labels on them, I had them all. But, you know, I don't necessarily love putting labels on my eating disorders or on eating disorders in general because there's so many nuances. But I relapsed every few weeks. You know, I would try and just quote unquote get my shit together. I would try and just eat like a normal person, quote unquote, but I just couldn't keep up with it. I would get too afraid. I would binge and then I would feel like I need to restrict again. And I would go back and forth with those extremes and I would self-sabotage, right? My major problem, the biggest problem as to why I always relapsed was that I still wanted to lose weight. And of course, it goes so much deeper than that, right? I wanted to feel in control. I wanted to feel lovable. I wanted to feel like I'm enough, right? But it was all wrapped up in the belief that if I lose weight, I am enough. If I lose weight, you know, I have a body that I can offer to the world that is lovable and worthy. So, you know, even though the problem was that I still wanted to lose weight, it of course goes a lot deeper than that. But I wasn't willing to give up the pursuit of weight loss for a full recovery. That was my problem. I thought that I must be able to keep my weight off while also heal my relationship to food. And this is so paradoxical because my eating disorder literally fed off of my desire to lose weight or keep my weight low. That is why my binge eating kept happening, right? That is why the restriction kept happening. That is why the excessive exercise kept happening and all of these other side effects that came with it, right? And by the way, if you want to know more about my story, go all the way back and listen to my very first episode where I share my entire story with my eating disorders and the three biggest lessons that my eating disorders taught me. So definitely go back and listen to that. I won't get super into it here, but a few relapses that I can recall. So I suffered from anorexia first for a couple of years. And then I would go back and forth between binge eating and severe restriction for months on end. I would kept going back and forth. I would feel in control, quote unquote, for all the wrong reasons, and then out of control. And being with Sean the first few years during our long distance relationship, I always tried to eat like a normal person, quote unquote, when I was around him. And it worked. Right? It really, really worked. Whenever we hung out for a few weeks together, I was able to just eat like I would picture a normal person eat, which made me believe that, yes, I could probably keep doing this after I returned back home. But every time I was by myself again, I fell back into the cycle of binging and restriction, clean eating to binge eating to clean eating to binge eating, right? So it was really hard for me because, again, I wasn't willing to give up my desire to shrink myself because of all of the beliefs that came with it. And even during, you know, my last attempt to recover, which ended up being successful, right? But in the beginning stages, I would still go back to restriction because I told myself, like, okay, you know, I'm eating more food now. I should still be able to keep my body small. You know, my body is weight restored. I should still be able to diet. It's all like, it sounds so silly now, but this was my thought process back then. And I'm sure for many of you still is, right? Because we're made to believe by diet culture that, you know, the only way to be healthy is to cut out certain food groups and, you know, to still, you know, be able to live a life and be social and go on vacations, you know, but, you know, you gotta keep the moderation going. You gotta eat everything in moderation, right? That's what we're made to believe, but that's not true. So I talked about this before in my episode about sugar. I believe it's episode number 17. In the beginning stages of my last attempt to recover, which ended up being successful, I was still trying to eliminate sugar because of everything that we're told by diet culture, by the diet industry, that sugar is so bad. And every time I tried to eliminate sugar or dairy or anything like that, I would always go back to binge eating, right? So I even had like small relapses in the middle of my biggest and last attempt to recover. And I'm sharing this because I want you to know that the reason I went back and relapsed, even if the relapses weren't as severe, is because I was still cutting out foods. I was still in diet mentality. I was still in that belief that my body is the only thing I have to offer to this world or that I can offer to this world. And if I lose that body of mine, you know, I'm not enough and no one's going to want to hang out with me and I'm not going to get a job and I'm basically just going to be a loser. So I want you to know that I had to let go of this belief and I had to practice full permission around food. I had to surrender to whatever my body wanted to eat. I had to surrender to whichever weight my body was going to settle at in the end. And I had to completely reevaluate who I am without my restrictive behaviors and excessive exercise. So I did a lot of the things that I shared with you in my answer to the first question, right? I had to understand that I am enough, that my body doesn't define me. So this is how I handled then those little tiny relapses, because I was already doing that deep work. I was already working through all of my limiting beliefs, all of the things people had told me my entire life that gave me the idea that I'm not enough without a thin body, things like that, right? I had to ask other people why they loved me. I honed in on my true values and on how I want to live my life. I asked myself what I want to remember from my life when I'm old. This was a big one, right? And this goes back to those values that I talked about in answer number one, when it comes to understanding who you are at your core and knowing that you're enough, right? So I basically went through all of these steps that I shared there. I also reminded myself that the 1 or 2 years of challenging my beliefs every single day and feeding myself and eating past fullness to heal was well worth the rest of my life living in peace and freedom and also being able to go after what I want because my brain has space and mental energy to pursue more important things than shrinking myself, right? Another thing I did in order to handle those little relapses was I practiced gratitude. I learned to appreciate the things I had and the beauty in this world that has nothing to do with my weight. So I would literally sit down, set a timer for a couple minutes and really just talk myself through all of the things that I'm grateful for, all the things that I have and all the things that I'm gaining back aside from my weight. So energy, more deeper, meaningful relationships, clarity, right? Not being obsessed with food, being able to be present during conversations, on vacations, celebrating my birthdays, like eating birthday cake and not feeling guilty for eating, just getting rid of that constant guilt that I felt in my life. Like all these things that I gained back, I constantly reminded myself of. And it all came down to all of these challenges, all that challenging my beliefs, feeding myself, all of the things that felt so uncomfortable and that, you know, had me tempted to go back to restriction. all of these things, like moving through these challenges, was the best thing I ever did for myself. And you know what? I wouldn't be here recording this if I hadn't just taken that first commitment, that first step to challenging my beliefs. So I really, really hope that this answer helped you. Just know that, you know, if a relapse happens, there's always a learning lesson. Please, please, please don't beat yourself up, right? And the same goes for falling back into old patterns like you're not enough or you're worthless, right? It's not just about disordered eating, like I said. It's about other things like self-sabotaging beliefs that we all have that we've been fed our entire lives. Like moving through those takes time. So really give yourself grace. Understand there's always a learning lesson and understand that you are in charge of your emotions, but you also want to give yourself permission to feel those emotions before moving through them and then choosing joy and choosing gratitude. Okay. All right. So this is my answer to how I handled relapses in the past and how I got over my mindset of I will never recover, and also how I moved through falling back into old patterns of self-doubt and anxiety as well. So I hope that was helpful for you. All right. Last question, shall we? So question three, is it worth it to stress over processed versus non-processed foods? How do you get over the stress of a non-whole foods diet? So the short answer, no, you absolutely do not have to stress over a non-whole foods diet. But of course, that's easier said than done, right? I shared before that I was so very much concerned with eating whole foods, no sugar, etc. Even in the beginning stages of my recovery, when I was committing to making peace with all foods, I was still baking my paleo cookies and I was still having, you know, my smoothie bowls without any sugar. And, you know, all of these beliefs that I had truly held me back from making true peace with food and my body, and also helped me back from stopping that constant food obsession that I was in. So I was still thinking about food all day. There was no room in my brain to think about anything else. But once I allowed myself to eat everything I wanted, right? Everything, processed foods, non-processed foods, and just approach food with no judgment and simply ask myself, what sounds good right now? What would satisfy my cravings? What would, you know, satisfy my hunger? What would satisfy my body? And listen as much as possible. I was able to truly be an ally to my body, right? And help my body balance out cravings and hunger and fullness and, you know, calm down and stop my mind from constantly obsessing over food and my body. To this day, I eat some sort of dessert and processed foods every single day, and I'm perfectly healthy. I eat my bagels and I eat my ice cream, right? And, you know, a lot of people, specifically people that are part of the diet industry, have been questioning me on that, have been saying that, you know, sugar is bad and bread is bad, and there's all these books like, actually, I'm not going to name them now because I don't want to bash anybody, but there's all these books suggesting that processed foods are so bad for our health. But you know what? I am perfectly healthy. I'm healthier than I've ever been because I am able to listen to my body's cravings. I'm able to eat until I am satisfied. I'm able to not feel guilty for any food I put into my body, but instead move on with my day and see what I feel like eating later in the day or the next day without any judgment. So I never feel like I have to quote unquote make up for that bagel I ate, or I never spend any time feeling guilty for that bagel, because all these things are putting so much stress on our bodies. The more we overthink our food, the more we feel guilty, the more we stop ourselves from eating the things we truly crave, the more stress we put on our body. And to our body, stress means our health declines over time, right? So that is what I mean here. I had to create a mindset of abundance around food, which is something I'm saying a lot and I'm teaching my clients and students all the time. A mindset of abundance around food. And I know it resonates with so many of you based on the feedback that I get from the podcast listeners, because abundance means that all foods are allowed and no foods have moral value. So broccoli is not a saint. Broccoli is not, you know, this amazing food that you put on a pedestal, and chocolate isn't that devilish food, right? All foods are neutral. Your body is designed to make food choices for you, right? So what I want you to do in order to get out of the mindset of, oh my God, I can't believe I eat, you know, all of these processed foods every single day. What if my body never actually asks for broccoli anymore? Like, what if I'm going to just eat pizza and ice cream for the rest of my life and nothing else, right? Like, if you're in this mindset of fear and doubt, I want you to just simply start experimenting with different recipes. So something that I always have my clients and students do is create a Pinterest board with real recipes. I don't mean like the paleo version or the dairy-free version of it, right? Like real recipes. And cook from them. So put recipes on your Pinterest board that sound delicious to you and that you know will satisfy your cravings. And cook from them. Try it for a week. Just cook from them. Eliminate any judgment around food and try and not attach any moral value, any good or bad value to any food at all. Go out and try a new place to eat that week, right? Try it once if you can. And try and make this a practice for yourself. So go out and try a new place to eat once a week or once a month, depending on your finances, of course, right? But really try and experiment with different foods and see what you actually enjoy eating, right? So instead of avoiding processed foods, quote unquote, and really just creating those new rules for yourself, I want you to rather work on eliminating guilt and shame around food and eliminating moral value around food, right? So that is the most important thing I want you to focus on. And just FYI, in our society, in our Western world, all foods are processed, even apples. So, you know, like if you don't live on your own farm and make your own food, like all foods are processed. But that's just a technicality here. I just wanted to bring that up. chances are, you have spent a lot of time eating quote unquote health foods. And if you truly enjoy them, your body will over time naturally crave them again. So if you, you know, spent the past few years making yourself eat salads and broccoli and kale smoothies, and you do enjoy them, right? It's just that right now all your body wants is just pizza and ice cream. That's okay. Like just roll with that, because I promise that over time your body will crave a variety and a balance of all kinds of food, right? So for me, I am now 2.5 years into my intuitive eating journey. You know, I don't overthink it, but I know that I'm eating a large variety of food. So when I say that I eat bagels and ice cream every day, I also eat my vegetables, right? But just a side note here, I actually make them taste good. So I put some butter and salt on it. Or, you know, if you can't digest butter or dairy or anything like that, there's other fats that you can add to make your vegetables taste good. Okay. So there's no more bland broccoli in my life. Like I make it taste good. But again, I'm sharing this because at the beginning stages of my journey, all my body asked for was those highly processed foods. And I worked really hard on eliminating guilt and shame around those foods. And over time, I remember a day where I woke up and I was like, oh, I really want a smoothie today for breakfast. And I didn't feel like, oh, I'm such a good person for eating that, right? It was just like, oh, let's have that. You know, it sounds good. It sounds like it'll satisfy my cravings and my hunger, right? So give yourself time, give yourself grace. And when it comes to your weight, because I know that's always a question, and I always wondered that myself, like, will I just keep gaining and gaining and gaining weight if I allow myself to eat the foods that I crave? I promise you that your weight will stabilize and balance out, but you have to put any weight loss desires to the side in order for this to work. So you can't constantly focus on that final day when your weight will be stable, right? You have to let go of all that and just go with the flow and let your body do that for you. So get out of your body's way. Another thing that truly helped me was joining a community or finding support throughout this process. Don't do this alone, because diet culture is all around us. You're constantly surrounded by messages that tell you what not to eat and what to eat instead and things like that. So you need a strong community around you to keep you going. And for me, that consisted of an online community and, you know, so investing in an online course. And I also hired a coach and I also went to therapy. And I know that for many people, this isn't realistic. I'm very privileged that I had access to all these resources, but there's a lot of free resources out there, like this podcast, like my online community on Instagram, right? Like I'm offering free classes, I'm offering freebies on my website. Like make use of that. You don't have to, you know, join my community or my courses or anything, but try and find something. There's free Facebook groups as well. So, you know, if you don't have the financial means to invest in yourself right now, that's perfectly okay. But try and find support. Don't try to do this alone if you feel torn right now. Focus on how you want to live your life and what freedom will feel like around food for you. And keep this in mind every single day as you choose to listen to your body and feed yourself. So these are my answers to your three questions. I think I will do another Q&A like this in a couple weeks from now, so I can't wait to catch you in the next one. Next week, I'll be sharing an interview with a colleague of mine that I'm really excited for you to tune into, so please, please come back. And meanwhile, don't forget to really own your life, take responsibility, get down to your core, to who you truly are. Understand that you are enough and you don't have to be someone else in order to be lovable and worthy. You are enough already, my friend. And again, I truly hope you got so much value out of this episode. It was so much fun answering your questions. I can't wait to do this again. So I will catch you in the next episode. Until then, don't forget to own it, babe.